In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Okay, I am glad to be with you today, and we're going to be speaking today about the desires of our heart. You know, the Lord really wants to give you the desires of your heart. You want to know why? Because He places them in your heart. The desires of your heart, those desires that are in your heart that He has placed, they are the building blocks of your life, okay? But I want to tell you that because we are religious, we may discount these desires automatically, trying to get rid of them in order to prove our surrender to God, you know? That the desires, the deep desires of our heart that God has placed within our heart, that we can literally get rid of them because we think that this is really our surrender to God. That, you know, I'm going to tell you, when God puts something in your heart, it is something that will stay in your heart, and it is for you, and it is your heart's desire, and you are to pursue it, and you are to pursue Him. Now, this cannot become greater than the Lord. Yes, you must give it up as Isaac was given up on Mount Moriah. But I want to tell you, if God keeps calling it back, I'm saying it's the desire of your heart. You see, I have given up something over and over and over again, and it's inevitable that even the day I give it up, it comes back again. It comes back again. And you know, I have to start thinking that maybe this is the desire of my heart, and maybe this is God's will for me. Because I've put it on Mount Moriah where Isaac was sacrificed. He never did get sacrificed. I've put it on Mount Calvary where Jesus died. And I place it there. And I say, Lord, I don't need this. And then inevitably, that very day, it'll come back to somebody else. To somebody else. And I know God's not playing around with my head. And I have to see, this is the desire of my heart. If God keeps on calling it back, I got to say, this is the desire of my heart, at least one of them. And I must pursue it. I must pursue it through prayer. I must believe that God's going to bring it about, because it's God's will to bring it about. Now, this desire of my heart can never be above Jesus. It can never be above Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus places in our hearts desires. These desires are from Him. Yes, ultimately, the desire has to be put on Mount Moriah with Isaac and Mount Calvary with Jesus. But you know what? If He brings it back, you need to look at it again and say, this cannot be surrendered because it's been placed in my heart. And God wants it to unfold by the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And if this desire of your heart is a kingdom desire, I'm going to tell you, the devil will try to defeat this desire so that it does not come about. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just so simple, because we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Now, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you what He's placed in your heart. And it's much more than money. It's much more than a brand new car. It's much more. It's something for the kingdom of God. It's something for the kingdom of God. It's something for the kingdom of God. And if it's in your heart, you've got to pursue it. I'll give you some examples, okay? I tried to surrender this thing about being a priest to the Lord. I tried. I tried to give it up. I tried to say, no, this is not what God wants, or this is what I want and not what God wants. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. But you know what? It kept on coming back, and I had to look at it. And I had to say, well, maybe it's my pride that's saying I can be as good, if not better, than a priest as a layman. You know, my pride. When the Lord's saying, that's not what I want for you. I want you to be my priest. So, you know, I had a ministry that was powerful as a lay person. Great ministry. But you know what? God had plans that only He knew, and I had to give into those plans as He kept on revealing, this is what I want you to do. Even to the point of one day when I drove by the seminary, He said to me, I want you to make an appointment tomorrow. And I said to Him, okay, Lord, I've been substitute teaching in Boston. If you want me to make an appointment tomorrow, no one will call me to substitute. And it was a Monday. They always call me on a Monday because teachers wanted a long weekend. No one called me that day. No one called me that day. So I went to the seminary reluctantly. So I found the woman at the desk, Loretta.
St. John Shemray.
That's how she used to answer the phone.
St. John Shemray.
Beautiful Loretta. I'm sure she's been in heaven for a long time. Well, I said to this lady, I didn't know her name at the time, I said, I came here to make an application with the rector.
Director, he's away.
He's away? I said, hallelujah, my guidance is wrong. That's what I said to myself. So I went to look at the pictures of all the old rectors that were rectors of the seminary, and I'm looking, and down walks this man, and he looks at me and says, hi, what are you here for? I said, I was here to see the rector. Excuse me. He said, I'm the rector. I said, I was here to make an application. He said, well, come into my office. You know, it was a divine plot. Hallelujah. I love divine plots. I love divine plots. Excuse me. I love when God usurps my will. I love it. You know why? Because better things will happen. When God shows me what He wants, better things will happen. Because God is God, you know? And He knows how to do things wonderfully. So, you know, when God places something in your heart, you have to pursue it. You have to pursue it. And it might be scary for you to pursue because it involves the unknown. That is why you've got to trust the Lord. You know, too many people play it safe in the Christian life. I'm going to tell you, just the word Christian means there's no playing it safe. If you're playing it safe, you're out of the will of God. Because our forefathers and foremothers went to death for the love of Jesus. Oh, yes. That's why, see, I'll never forget, you know, there we were. We were demonstrating in front of the State House about embryonic stem cell research, okay? There we were, and it was the day that we were going to demonstrate again. And I get a call in my automobile from Ryan Verrett. All the newspapers and all the television stations are out here because they're going to close some fort in the area, and there's going to be a great meeting of the Kennedys and the senators and the representatives, and they're all going to be out here. And I said to the Lord, oh, Jesus. I don't want to be there. I'll make a fool out of myself. I will make a fool out of myself. But there it was. There was the parking space. And oh yes, before any of the meeting, I start with my loud voice, Mr. Kennedy, you are for embryonic stem cell research. That means you are killing individuals. You are for abortion. Now, he hears me. You are for abortion, even to the last moment. partial birth abortion. That was your bill. I said, you have already excommunicated yourself. You do not need the church to excommunicate you. For what you have done, you have excommunicated yourself. You know, here I am saying these things. You know, my voice is not gentle. He heard me. They all heard me. Now, when they had their meeting, I completely shut up. I never said a word because I don't like to intrude. I'm not called to heckle. I wasn't heckling. I was speaking and speaking the word of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't want to do that. I did not want to do that. If you think I wanted to do that, you're out of your mind. You think that I wanted to make a fool out of myself, you're out of your mind. But you know what? It presented itself to me. I wasn't looking for it. I was just looking to demonstrate that day. And you know, I did what I had to do. And even though my heart was jumping, and even though I didn't want to do it, I knew inside I had to do it. What good did it do? No good, probably, but you know what? A watchman spoke the word of God, and now it's up to the people to repent. The watchman is not responsible to have people repent. He is responsible to preach the word of God, okay? So, I did that. And I need to tell you, it was difficult. If anyone thinks that that kind of stuff is not difficult, you're out of your mind. Because you know what? I have respect for myself too. And I knew people would be thinking, this guy is completely out of his mind. But whether it meant that or to be faithful to God, let them think I'm completely out of my mind. Do you understand me? See, I tell you that when God puts something in you, you've just got to proceed. And he's got bigger plans than you, because his will is to invade the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the might of his word. That's God's will. And despite what anyone thinks, when God places something in your heart, you've got to move with it, or you will rot. You will rot. After David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, the prophet Nathan heard from God what David had done. Now you must admit that a prophet has no power when it comes to a king. A king can destroy the prophet with a blink of his eye. God told Nathan about David and his sin with Bathsheba and killing Uriah. He told Nathan. He told the prophet. Now the prophet must go and tell the king. I'm going to tell you, that night, that prophet Nathan was in his room, in by that oil lamp. That prophet Nathan was before the Lord. How do I tell him without compromise? I come to do your will. And there was a story that he got to. And so he went to see the king. I want to tell you about a man. This man, he was a poor man, and he had one baby ewe lamb. He used to eat with that lamb and sleep with that lamb, and it was his friend. And some great man who had a flock of lambs wanted this lamb, And what happened? He took the lamb from him. What do you say of that man? And David said, that man should be killed. And Nathan said, you are the man. You had all these things in the kingdom. You had wives. But there you slept with Bathsheba. And you killed her husband Uriah out of lust. You think Nathan wanted to speak that word? He could have died. He could have died that day. But the heart of David was touched by God. He was a man after the heart of God. And he said, oh, have mercy upon me, O Lord, in your kindness, in your steadfast love. Wipe out my offense. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done? Oh, he repented. Now we have the 51st Psalm. He repented. But let me tell you, that night before Nathan went to see the David, the king, the king of Israel, that night, I'm sure he was on his face. He was with his lamp. He was praying. He was asking God, how? Because my life too is valuable. And the king can just blink his eyes and I'm dead. But God gave him a story. It is not always easy to do what the Lord calls us to do. Let me tell you that. It was never meant to be easy. It is not always easy to stand up against the system. It is not always easy to speak what other people are not speaking. It is not always easy. That's real. I understand that because you know what? I do that all the time, and it is not always easy. But yet it must be done. If God speaks it, someone must speak it so that others will hear it. There are not many brave men in the world anymore. I think men have become more like women. I think men have no courage. It's so sad. I want to see a man with courage. I want to see leaders with courage. You might think whatever you will of Mr. Bush. You might think whatever you will of Mr. Bush. But I'm going to tell you, he has kept us safe since 9/11. You might think whatever you will of Mr. Bush, that he's not the greatest president in the whole world, and I agree with you. But I want to tell you, give the man his due. He has kept us safe since 9/11, doing what he thinks that he had to do. I think he's a man of his conviction. Whether he's right or wrong, I'm going to tell you, he's kept us safe since 9/11. You can be sweet-talked by the new people. Oh, yes, Obama is a sweet-talker. Oh, yes, Obama is a sweet. And I'm not a racist. I am not a racist. I am not a racist. Because I disagree with Obama's policy makes me a racist? No. He wants to kill children. He wants to kill children. This is his record. And he will even kill the children in the womb, even if they're born. If it's born, a botched abortion, I'm going to tell you, he says that they will have no civil rights. This is not racism. This is reality. But the nation can be sweet-talked by Obama all they want. Or they can be sweet-talked by McCain all they want. But I'm telling you, my friends, you can only sweet talk So long until then, you have the reins of the government and the responsibility, and you better have the courage to keep us safe. You better have the courage to do what's necessary. You better have the courage, because, my friend, you can sweet-talk people just so long. Be it McCain or Obama, sweet talk means nothing. Show me who your friends are, and I'll show you who you are. My mother always said that. You know, who you hang around with, that's who you are. Birds of a feather flock together. It would do people well to look at Obama's friends. It would do people well to look at McCain's friends. It would do people well to look at the vice president's friends, because birds of a feather flock together. Show me who your friends are, and I'll show you who you are. That is not racism. That's a reality. My mother taught me that. Unfortunately, we don't remember the realities of what we were taught when we were little. It's so easy to be sweet-talked. No one's going to fool me. No one's going to fool me by their sweet-talk. I want to see their friends. I want to see their record. I want to see who I want to vote for. I'm not voting for people who speak. I'm voting for people who act, and the way they act, I'm going to vote by action. What have they done in the past? And that's what they will do in the future, whoever they are. You get sweet talked all you want, because sweet talk will not last after the first day after the inauguration, either or. If you feel you're being sweet-talked, my friends, that means to be the president of the whole of the United States of America, you better have the courage and the power of God behind you, because, my friends, this whole nation can collapse. We are at the precipice of a collapse. Yes, we are, because our sins have gained that for us. And who will speak out? Who will speak out? I can't tell you who to vote for. You vote your conscience. But you look at these people's records and see how you're going to vote. You look at their records and see how they voted on life. What we sow is what we reap. We are reaping devastation because we've sown killing. We've sown destruction. But it will continue until God's people repent. Oh, my God. Am I being political? This has nothing to do with politics. It's what a people sow is what a people reap. And who will speak the word of God to people? The word of God that's sometimes very difficult to speak, that people don't want to hear it. But Jeremiah says, it burns in my bow. I cannot hold it in. It burns in my bow. Where are the men today? Who is a man? Who is a man? I tell you, Sarah Palin has more, how you say, more stamina than any of these men. More backbone. I'm telling you, my friends, who are the men today? It's time for the men to be men. men, and that means to be caring and gentle, but strong. Let me tell you, I'm no macho person. I'm a wimp, but I'm going to tell you, I'm a man. I'll speak the hard word, and I'll take the consequences. You know why? Because I'm not out to please the whites, and I'm not out to please the yellows, and I'm not out to please the blacks, and I'm not out to please the bishops. I'm out to please Jesus Christ. That's who I'm out to please. Not the whites, not the yellows, not the blacks, not the bishops, not the pope, but Jesus Christ. And I do an imperfect job of it, let me tell you, but I do the best I can. When I see injustice, I speak it out. But don't you dare call me a racist. Don't you dare call me a racist. Don't you dare. Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. My Lord. Find out who McCain's friends are. Find out who Obama's friends are. And I'll tell you who they are. Listen, today is Tuesday and tomorrow is Wednesday. I will be at St. Mary's in Coventry, Connecticut. You're welcome to come tonight, Tuesday at 7 o'clock and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Coventry, Connecticut, St. Mary's Church. And we will be having services. We'll be praying for healing. We'll be praying for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We'll be praying that the Lord would do mighty and awesome things. This is the time for God to do mighty and awesome things, let me tell you. Mighty and awesome things. Because we are in a real dilemma. This is the time for God to act and to act powerfully. So we will be today and tomorrow, St. Mary's in Coventry, Connecticut. Now, not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, that's the 28th and 29th of October, I will be in Bloomfield, Tuesday and Wednesday, Bloomfield, Connecticut at St. Thomas Seminary. Please, these are days to come and worship the Lord. Come, put on your calendar tonight, the 14th and 15th of October, St. Mary's in Coventry, Connecticut, 7 o'clock. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.